Great morning, people of God. Oh, it's been a long time since we've been able to record on the line. However, I am extremely excited about it. I am so thrilled about the new moves and what God is doing in the earth realm. I'm excited that I'm still alive to teach. I want to welcome you to another powerful hour of the Women of Warren County Teaching and Prayer Line. I am so elated that you decided to be with us on this powerful teaching that we're going to get into. We have been studying spiritual warfare for several weeks, even years, and just a basic introduction to spiritual warfare. And we cut off somewhere around call number 16, if I'm not mistaken. And so in the meantime, it's not that I wasn't recording or didn't have anything to say. I just truly felt like what God had given really can bring us up to the place where we are now in spiritual warfare. And a lot of times, and I have to say even myself, I wouldn't have never really thought about this next session of teaching would be, you know, put under introduction to spiritual warfare. But the more I realize that, the more I've gone through some things, the more God has revealed some things, I know that leadership training is also a proactive way to enter into spiritual warfare foundational. And what I mean by that is I think that a lot of leadership underestimate the enemy and his goal to try to prevent us from getting valuable information to the people of God. And so I don't know that we've had basic fundamental teaching about leadership in from the perspective of God. And so for the last several months, almost 6 months now, I've been studying, refreshing, and even teaching live in the classroom setting at the ministry on leadership. And so what I decided to do was to go back and kind of record from the beginning, and that will have some place, some type of memory for us, and we can go back and recall and take our time and listen to the lesson. So the title that we're going to label this is Leadership is an Honorable Ambition. And I'm going to be coming from Jeremiah 45:1 and 1 Timothy 3:1. And so when we go to Jeremiah, the scripture reading, let me get to it. And this is a live training, so everything is not going to be just perfect, but the information is important than perfection. Amen. So Jeremiah chapter 45, verse number 5 says this. Excuse me. And seekest thou great things for yourself? That's a question. Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord. But your life will I give unto you for a prey, P-R-E-Y, in all places. And 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1 says, this is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. And so when you think about those two scriptures, they're a world apart. In thought, it sounds like they're a world apart. But the basis of what is being said or spoken to us about leadership is the key word, honorable ambition. And so what the Lord was trying to say was that leadership had to go through, particularly during the Apostle Paul time, had to go through hardship to lead the church. You couldn't just seek it out. You couldn't just go online. You couldn't just desire a great work. You had to be first anointed, called and anointed of God. And then with all things, there's a preparation that we need to go through. So it wasn't simply because you woke up and had a this overwhelming desire to be a leader without other things being in place to ensure the call, to shore up, being able to withstand. And you also had to have an inner conviction. And so when I talk about leadership, I'm not talking about as in Timothy, because in Timothy, 1 Timothy 3 and 1, we're talking about a specific office, which was a bishop, and it was a desired work, or a pastor, they were synonymous. But what I want to talk about in a more broad spectrum is leadership from a biblical aspect. And then later on, we'll, as we progress, we will be distinct about what type of leadership that we're going to identify, which comes from Ephesians 4 and 11, which will be fivefold ascension gifts. But right now, I want to talk with leadership in general, because we all in some kind of way are leaders. We're leaders in our home, at work, friends, coworkers. However, everybody leads something. Everybody have a sphere of influence. And so if you understand that from that aspect, then this will be important to you. Because the fundamental things that we need now in the 21st century are the things that we did not deem important or did not take the time to research out. So my goal is to bring simplicity to a broad word and then define it as it relates to gifts. And so, during, like I said earlier, during the Apostle Paul time of leadership, they had to go through hardship to lead the church. Only those that truly loved God and were sold out to Christ would even consider, I said consider, leading the church. Because leadership was first in suffering, persecution, and hardship. Now, that's just to say the least. Leadership was also faced with, and I know this to be true with me, worrisome responsibilities and great danger. And oftentimes the reward for leading is just as discouraging as the things that we come up against. I always say this, and I want us to be clear about it. Phonies will have a hard time remaining faithful and encouraged if they were not truly called by leaders. Phony people who simply are ambitious will not last very long and will be very discouraged and unfaithful to the task at hand, because it comes with a great responsibility and a great level of sacrifice. Everything in your life as a leader is touched. So we have to be clear sometimes as leaders, and I have to remind myself this a lot. The only incentive I have to serve as a leader must be about Christ alone. He's the only thing that motivates me and drives me when things are extremely hard and tough and when it seems like I'm not accomplishing anything. Christ whispers in my ear and let me know you can do all things. And so you need to get that in your head right now. As many points can be pulled out of what I'm saying, but a lot of times the only incentive to serve as leaders will be Christ alone. He will be the only beam of light that will be shining in some very dark days as leadership. It's interesting, in today's society of leadership, there are celebrities now. You know, they carry prestige and honor and privilege. Their reasons for seeking leadership is more self-seeking than actually serving the people. Nothing irritates me more than people who are called into leadership who think that they're entitled, that they have to be treated a certain way and honored higher than any other leader who is in the trenches doing the same work with people's souls. And here you are, because you are titled now and anointed, thinking that you deserve a certain level of prestige and honor and privilege. It's a disservice. It goes directly against what Christ came. And as we progress along, you're going to find out that we're going to have to become real, real low all the time forever as it relates to leadership. So as I said, they're self-seeking. they're not really interested in serving the people. And it doesn't take long to find out who it really is. Their goal is to become celebrities, famous, and have a lot of money, these leaders. This type of leadership is never the will of God. God's leaders are already service-driven. And no wonder, because the highest level of service is to serve God and his people. See, leadership is already doing it. They're already serving. They're already doing. They already have a rapport. People are already following them regardless. It's not something that they have to convince themselves to do. It is the totality of who they are as leaders. And interesting enough, it would have to be if you are called a leader or a servant leader. That's our job, is to serve the people. Jesus came to seek and to save them which were lost, but he also came as a servant leader. And so this is very important that we understand that God's leaders are service driven, and that the highest level of servant leadership is to serve God first and his people. So Paul stated, you know, in 1 Timothy 3:1, he said this was an honorable ambition. So what I would say to you, wise point number one for godly leadership, if you're seeking stable benefits and upscale working conditions, then you need to rethink leadership. In America, we're so privileged to have everything truly at our fingertips that we couldn't imagine, you know, the hardship leaders in other countries go through daily in order to first worship God and serve the people. We think that if we don't have the mortgage paid and air conditioner and the right kind of matching chairs and decor, that it's hard and we can't get paid our money, it's hard. But other leaders in other countries go through great depth to serve and worship God and then to serve people. And we have really got to open ourselves up and really try to get an understanding of what other leaders are going through in other countries, because we don't know. We look at our own little world and we whine and complain about things that we have no business complaining about. And there are people in other countries that walk several miles into me, even still in the middle of nowhere in fear of being murdered, to have service. And we drive 2 and 3 miles or have to get up and get on the line or have to listen and for training and teaching, and we complain. And oftentimes, even for me, I can get like that. I'm not exempt. I'm always the first partaker of my own teaching. Remember, you all are just getting it. I've been studying this for months and some parts of it for a year or so. But I have to remind myself, Michelle, get over yourself and come on, humble yourself. You are a servant leader, and it brings me back to reality, and I love serving. I really do. So we need to understand the work of God. Leadership is the most important work in the world. We must understand the work of godly leadership is the most important thing in the world. I won't begin to talk about leadership of the world now, not just the presidential elections and not even talking about the President Trump. I'm just talking about in general. When I look at leadership now, I don't believe that people understand the level of influence that they have. When a person has your ear, they have influence. They have influence. They have the ability to influence your thoughts, your ideas, your values, your scruples, things that are important to you. Teachers are very, very influential people because they have the ability to influence a person's course of life. It could be they can ruin a person's life, or they can really catapult a person in life. And so when we're talking about godly leadership, it's the most important work in the world. When the motives are right, this will pay off on earth, and it pays off in the lives that God uses us to introduce to Christ for all eternity. Jeremiah asked Barak a very wise question and gave simple counsel. He said, should you seek great things for yourself? He said, seek them not. The prophet was not saying all ambition was sinful, or condemning ambition, but selfish motivation for personal gain is the thing that make ambition wrong. Desiring great things for yourself is not a sin. However, the motivation behind it is what determines ambitious character. And Jesus never spoke against the urge for high achievement. I mean, come on, he was the most intellectual person on the face of the earth. But he did expose and condemn unworthy motivation. And so as it relates to leadership being the most important thing, we can't go into this thinking out things simply for ourselves, me, my, and I. It don't work like that. It does not work like that. You need to have some level of ambition. You do. You need to have some level of drive and goals and motivations for why you're doing it. But it should never be about money. It should never be about not gaining souls to Christ. It should never be about you in the limelight, your name being called, your name in life. You're being treated a specific way because you're Bishop Hoo-Hoo. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. We are all ambitious people, but as born-again believers, we're encouraged to develop God-given ambition. That's what we want. We want God-given ambition so we can become greater, you know, in the service of God and greater service to the people. Then our leadership position in the kingdom is validated by God. And I love that because if you're not born again, you're not going to be able to spiritually influence a person's life, spiritually. Now, you can be a leader of anything and anybody, but in order for an impartation that will last for all eternity, the born-again experience is necessary. We think differently. We have the mind of Christ, the way of Christ. We have the characteristics of Christ. The character of a leadership is very important. That's why it needs to be developed in the born-again experience. And then once we understand that, then we understand the whole service of Christ, why he came. He came as the ultimate service and sacrifice for God so that people can be called back to kingdom. And so I thank God for understanding, and those that are godly spiritual leaders will know that your whole makeup and being, you'll be preoccupied with souls and winning souls for Christ, which means your ambitions and your achievements will become different. And that's what we want. We don't want to be ordinary leaders in an ordinary world, but with stamped Christians. No, we want to have spiritual influence in the earth realm, and we want to birth out, train up, educate, activate, equip and deploy after our own kind, godly spiritual leadership. And so I wanted to inject this because the word ambition is a Latin word meaning campaigning for promotion. Campaigning for promotion. This would suggest social visibility and approval, popularity, peer recognition, and the exercise of authority over others. So you can see the difference in just honorable ambition, want to be seen, want everybody approval. Everybody got to like you. All your peers got to recognize. When you walk in the room, everybody needs to bow down and put rose petals at your feet and all of that this type of honorable, ambitious leadership can exercise authority over everybody else, but can't exercise authority and contain their own vessel. I won't go there. We're recording. But it's important to understand words, and it's important to understand the breath of God when he says things, or else we'll miss the whole point. I don't have to be seen. It's okay if you approve, but I'm not losing any sleep. Popularity, because I'm doubled as a prophet, it don't even go with the makeup. I'm extremely cool by myself. God now is forcing me to be around people and to really, really embrace that are not prophets because we're weird. And prophet hurt people's feelings, and they can't handle. You have to have a really pretty thick skin to roll with prophets. And so, you know, popularity is not a thing for me. It doesn't matter. Peer recognition, if you do, you do. If you don't, you don't. I lose no sleep. And I spend countless hours, what I feel like sometimes, performing an exorcism on my own self sometimes when I get crazy and out of balance and all of that. So if I can keep Michelle in check as a godly spiritual leader, then God will influence me to have a level of authority in the lives of people, not over people, not over people. We have authority over demons, but never over people, never over people. So ambitious people enjoy power that comes with money and authority. Jesus, however, never gave legitimate time to such a level of ego. True leaders would never campaign for a promotion. Jesus made a powerful statement to his ambitious disciples in Mark 10, 42 through 44. If you want to be first, you must be a slave of all. True greatness, I love this, the way the Holy Spirit wrote it. True greatness in leadership is always about giving yourself in service to others, not in seducing, manipulating, controlling others to serve you. This must be clear to true leaders that serve others. It will cost severely. It will cost you severely to serve others, but you can't seduce or manipulate or try to control others to serve you. You cannot. And let me say this because I sense this in the spirit. We cannot forbid, hold up, or hinder people that God has called to be a service to us either. Because that the other side of that, and I have to be transparent, I had a very hard time. And even sometimes now, I have to, you know, open myself up for people that truly God has sent in my life to handle business. I don't even have to think about a lot of things, and they're already doing it or have already done it. And it brings, and once I really noticed and accepted that this was a legitimate heart of service, then I was able to relax a little bit and be able to, you know, accept the position, the anointing, actually, that God has sent in my life to be a blessing. So we have to also be open for those that God was sent in our life to help relieve us and to offer a level of service that God has given them. True leadership will experience a third baptism, and that baptism is in suffering. If we that are called is not prepared for suffering, we must revisit if we are truly called by God, okay? And so I'm not sure why leadership pass out. I'm not sure why leadership get deranged and begin to start rebuking the enemy when suffering comes, but it is a part of the territory. It can't be anything different than what Christ himself went through. He was the ultimate example of all things that we will go through in the earth realm as leaders. And so if you are a person who won't give of yourself, if you are a person that think of yourself all the time first and not someone else, if you are allergic, highly allergic to suffering, please, please, please step aside before you injure someone. You have got to become accustomed to betrayal and hurt and upset and disappointment. You have to become acquainted, intimate with people walking away, people staying to make your life miserable, disloyalty, you name it, any level of suffering in your finances, in your home, in your health, the attacks that the enemy will launch against leadership to prevent them from influence one soul is tremendous. And we really need to think about if that's what God called us to do. And I say this often, you hear me saying throughout this teaching and recording, that leaders don't walk parallel to the people that they're leading. You're going to have to be out front. And therefore, if you're out front, then you're able to examine things, but you're more than likely able to take the bulk of the attack because your job is to protect that which is behind you. So we need to understand that. And that leads me to the next section that I'm going to be teaching on, which is searching for leadership. Because, again, if you don't meet the introduction of what I'm talking about for godly spiritual leadership, then you're not going to make it, because I'm telling you, leadership calls for everything in your life, everything. Nothing is exempt. Nothing is not touched. Everything in your life, leadership and leading people is called for. So when God is searching for godly leadership, you got to be reminded that God alone is the one that chooses. God is alone that appoints, not man. Psalm 75, 6 through 7 refers to this, so let's go to it. Psalm 75. Psalm 75, and I love this for several reasons, because a lot of people look at me, and especially when somebody say apostle such and such, a lot of people look at me, and they always try to size me up, because whatever people have been told or whatever people are looking for in leadership, I don't meet it. I really don't meet it, and I'm okay with that because I know deep in my soul fiber that God alone is the one that appointed me, and God alone is the one that made me the leader that I am. God is. So Psalm 75, 6 and 7 says, "For promotion come neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and sets up another." And man's opinion, thought about me does not matter. You need to write that as wise point. Number two, God chose me. Man's opinion and thoughts about me means nothing. Psalm 75, 6, and 7 will support that. I'm so grateful that in my flawedness, in my humanness, as I call it, that God saw something far deeper in me that he could use. And this is why I'm deeply humbled. This is why I am so grateful, because you know of me, but God knows me. And when I think about holiness and majesty and the purity of him, the essence of who he is, love, and he will still choose me, I'm deeply humbled. And I absolutely want to do everything possible to be the best leader that God has called me to be. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to make crucial mistakes and errors. That's all a part of the territory. But they're not intentional. That's why we started out on explaining leadership. I don't have any intentions to manipulate or hurt or harm anybody or lead them away from God. Everything with me points back to God. Everything, every counseling session, every teaching, every training, thank you for getting on the line to hear God through me. But make sure you hear God through me and not me. Make sure you hear God through me. So I'm humble when I say that, and I love God for choosing me. And you should honor and love God for choosing you, because he did. God is always searching for leadership. 1 Samuel 13 and 14. Let's go to it. 1 Samuel 13 and 14. God is always looking for leadership. You know, when he chooses us, he chooses us according to the will and the pattern of the Father. But he's always looking for leadership. He's always searching out leadership. In 13 and 14 lets us know. And the word of the Lord says this, 1 Samuel 13 and 14. It says, "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people." because you have not kept that which the Lord commanded you. So he's always looking for leadership because the phonies have come into play, and now they see what it's really about, the endless counseling sessions, saying the same thing sometimes over and over again to people, and the simplicity of things to us is difficult for other people to unravel and figure out. So the phonies are abandoning ship, and so God is always seeking for leadership. Don't ever think that God, he got eyes everywhere, beholding all that good and evil. He got to be back and forth looking and searching for leadership, godly spiritual leadership, because the phonies are getting tired. This is why you see a lot of people abandoning in all leadership. Let me say this now. All leadership that leave the pulpit are not phonies. I have thought about it a million times, even during the course of this week, with the battles and the blows and the double attacks that's on me as a leader in the ministry. I thought about it. Pack this stuff up. Send those people to another ministry equally as strong as us, if not stronger, and move on. It's a lot. It's a lot. So when people abandon the pulpit, they're not abandoning the pulpit because they were phony. Some are. But then there's others that are overwhelmed and they're just tired and they need a refreshing. I also believe this is why God still search our leaders and begin to train, because when senior leadership needs a refreshing, it ought to be somebody that live a life clean enough that can step instantly in and carry on. It's a sad commentary when godly spiritual leadership need a refreshing and a break, and we have not conditioned ourselves in the character of God and have not gotten ourselves to in a place to take this very seriously, that we're ready to succeed a leader when they need to go away. And it's even sadder when we're looking at a leader and we know that leader needs to be refreshed, and we're not strong enough in God to say, listen, I think you need a refreshing. This is what my prayer has been. I have a release from God to take over the class for a while, to teach for a bit, just to give you a rest. You need to do that. You need to be strong enough in God if you care, because we're talking about souls. We're not talking about fivefold gifts and everybody's so proud of it. Wonderful. I'm proud of it. But I'm proud when I see the light bulb go on in people's lives, whether I was an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, or an evangelist. I was just saved. And I minister someone unto salvation or illumination of light in dark places. That's what excites me. You can call me Michelle. It does not matter. The spirit behind it better be of honor and respect, because that's how I am with leaders. I want to honor and respect you. And then we as leadership got to let people say to us, you need a refreshing, take a little rest and all of that. A lot of times we're not able to accept it because we watch you. We listen to you. I cannot stand, I want to say it gently, I cannot stand people who speak in codes but really trying to talk about people. Can't always find error about how somebody else does something or feel like. You got to be pretty bold to think you're going to sit and have a conversation with me about somebody else. You got to be pretty bold, really, to sit around and have a gossip session, because I promise you with every ounce of authority in me, I am going to rebuke you hard. Because it's evil, it's not of God. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Why in the world is she saying they're talking about leadership need a break? Because when you make a move like that and the Lord allows the leadership to hear your heart and now you're starting to lead, people are going to talk about you, dear. Sir, they're going to say all kinds of things about you. So you're going to have a tough skin, and your motive is going to simply have to be about God's people, and that's it. So I hope I made sense when I said that, but God is always searching for leaders. He's always looking for people that will step in and relieve his leadership, because we do, regardless of what was told of us in old, you do get a chance to retire even for the day. you're entitled to at least 24 hours in a day where you sit and get refreshed and not have to be, you know, engaged in somebody else and all of that. So he's looking for leadership. He's always looking for leadership. And not only is God always looking for leadership, but he looks everywhere and every place for leadership. Jeremiah chapter 5 and 1 proves that. He is looking for leadership. He's always looking for. And he's looking everywhere and every place for leadership. Jeremiah chapter 5 and 1 says, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any who execute judgment, who seek the truth, and I will pardon. This is amazing. When he says, go up and down the street, look everywhere, he didn't say go to the synagogue. He didn't say go to New Beginning, Apostolic Faith, the Church of God in Christ, that deal in absolute holiness, miracle signs, and oneness. He didn't say go to Jerusalem. He didn't say go to Rome. He didn't say go to Westminster Abbey in London. He didn't say none of that. He said go everywhere. Go look in the crack house and go look in this house and go look there. And I don't care where they at. They could be getting ready to commit a robbery, a murder, a crime. Look everywhere. Find somebody. Find me a man. Somebody ought to give God glory, because when God found me, okay, we're going to move on and stay, you know, we're going to stay in the back. Trust me. I said back in the late 80s to 90s, in the club, not saved at all, but I said I would never forget it. I told my friend, and I said, this will be the last time you're going to see me in the club. Because he go everywhere to and fro in the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know and speak in the broad places thereof, if you can find any man. I didn't say fivefold, apostolic, educated, non-educated, rich, poor, black, white, girl, female. Find me somebody. Because when I pour this on them and put this in them, they're going to use what I tell them to do the right way. Ooh, that is a heavy. I bless your name for that today, God. Thank you, Lord. So quit letting people look upside your head and lie and say things. God ain't calling nobody. He ain't visiting you. Yes, he does visit people in the crack house. He visits them in your house and the whole house and any other house. Yes, he does. Yes, he does, because he's God. There's no bounds and limitations to him. God can go in a drug house or whatever you want to call it, or go in some of the filthy, most disgusting people places to get people and still come out clean. We may not even come out. We're talking about God here. So we got to understand that. We got to understand that God is not like us. We want everybody prim and proper. I'm not really interested in people who have it together. I've never been drawn to people who lie and try to pretend they have it together. And then I don't stay with people who always waddle and the victim of not having it together either. You got to have a balance. You got to have a story of conquer. You got to have a leader that's always going back to eat their own vomit, or a leader that's always, every message is them and they're on the altar, tied to the altar, or whatever. You need to rethink that, because there's something going on in your life. You need some help, because there are messages that I read and study. I know God is not talking about me, although I learn from it, but I know he's not talking about me. It doesn't cause me to tie myself to the altar and have to stay there 30 days with sackcloth and ashes on. It's not like that, because I live a habitual life or going before God, asking him. I don't understand my errors. Cleanse me now, seek a fault. That's scripture, you know, that scripture. We have got to be that way, and we have got to know, because when God looked for us and when he removed us out of the broad places in Jerusalem or Jackson or Edwards or Vicksburg or wherever it was from, then we need to understand that we are not of that foreign country or place anymore. We're in a new kingdom society, a new kingdom culture with a new kingdom language. Therefore, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. Okay? So I love it that God searches the broad places, and he goes looking for the leader that he wants. And there is a type of leader God looks for. He looks for ones that can build. He looked for leaders that can build. Ezekiel 22 and 30. Ezekiel 22 and 30. This is the kind of leader that God is looking for. A leader that can build. It's interesting that people can build buildings, but they can't build people. Let me leave that alone. Ezekiel 22 and 30. They can build a praise ministry and a choir, and they can't build people. Let me leave that alone. They can build their bank accounts, and they can build up their doc list and their girlfriend list or their diva list, but they can't build people, and they're a leader. Let me just leave that alone. Ezekiel 22 and 30. I hope y'all laughing. And I sought for a man among them who should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I find none. But I find none. That don't make sense. Yes, it does. He's looking for someone that, particularly in Judah and Jerusalem, in dire straits. They were in dire straits indeed. So what he's saying is that he's looking among them, and he's looking for somebody that he can raise up. He's looking for somebody that's able and willing to attempt to reform or call the nation into prayer. He's looking for someone that he can really use in this hour, because you got to remember, if you back up to verse number 29, the people of the land has used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. So God is looking for someone to set order, someone that's not corrupt and crooked, people that have not fallen into the trap of the things of the land. He's looking for someone that know how to build. Reformation takes building. You got to know how to build. First, that's why God always spends time with us, because he builds us. He builds us. And reformation takes time. And if we're going to reform, then we need to make sure that we have been built by God, and therefore we have the pattern and the blueprint. Interesting enough, a builder is a good word to describe what God is looking for, because building takes time. It takes discipline. It takes strategy and full commitment. Yes, indeed, we're flawed as leaders. I told you that earlier. But let's be reminded also where God found his leaders, every place and every situation. And so when leaders make mistakes, that's why I'm very lenient and I'm long-suffering in that area, because I always put myself in the place of where I am. I've always been raw. I've always said what I need to say to whomever I needed to say it. Felt very confident and repeated myself slowly to make sure you feel every blow of what I'm saying. That was the unredeemed person that had other influences in her life. But now that I'm godly, spiritual, and full of the Holy Spirit, the same thing is there. I want you to understand what I'm saying. I say it slowly. I impress upon certain points. So, and then I really want you to repeat, so, because I'll say things, so you tell me what you hear. Because I need to understand how to rebuke, encourage, counsel, build up, whatever, correctly. We need to be reminded of that too. When God is shaping and reforming and building leaders, we have to remember that they don't come in squeaky clean like you did. No fault, no error, always been right, always done things right. But God found us every place in every situation. So that stuff got to be worked up out of us. And sometimes it gets worked up out of us for you. And it's not always good. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. But more than anything, be reminded that he found us every place and every situation. Have some compassion, in other words, is what I'm saying. Have compassion. Because it's a hard path, letting go of what's been comfortable and familiar. You've been living with this life and lifestyle for 20 years or so, and now all of a sudden in 1 year, you've arrived. I think not. I always look at people in leadership. It's a lot of things. You'll never know what I'm looking at. You'll never know my train of thought, because God sometimes downloaded in, and then there are other times where I've sat and pondered the people that I'm engaged with and who are around me that are leaders and people that I'm training. And I have to have some level of insight in order to train you. So I look at a lot of things, and I can tell that in the group of people that I'm training, not only New Beginning and the other towns that come, but on the, in other states that I train, it's going to have to be a whole lot of breaking that still's got to take place. And some of us need a final breaking. And your final breaking can be more than one time. Some of us still, because when I look at certain things and listen to certain things, people that don't want to get their hands dirty, you can step aside. Because this thing is nasty and dirty and grunging. It really is. You can step aside. You're not going to be able to handle it because people got dirty stuff that they want our hands in. And I used to say sometimes to people that I counsel, ooh, something you don't need to tell me. I'm human. You don't need to tell me. And I don't breach confidentiality, but it's almost like, wow, that was too much information. And those are dirty hands. So now God got to use the hand of purity to clean that situation up and give godly counsel. So God looks everywhere in every place. I love that also because people who have experienced certain things that I never had to experience, you bring a level of influence every place in every situation. If you have never been a person who had many friends, I'll say it like that, then you will never be able to identify another male or female who have had many friends. I'll say it like that. Get it? So God looks everywhere in every situation. If we were to examine the choices God made for leaders, we would find that they're all flawed men and women. And you are too. You're flawed too. Sometimes I think that that's the beauty of God, that he would call flawed people. That's the beauty of who he is. He calls flawed people. And not only does he call them, but he qualifies them. He trains, he anoints them. And then he sends them out. Check this out. He sends them out with the full authority. He sends them out with full permission to speak on his behalf. Somebody needs to give God some praise for that because that is awesome. That it's people right now, they love God with everything. They can't speak on my behalf. There are some places that Michelle can't get to get. And I do mean get. But for the recording, there are places that Michelle King must go. Because the character is not there. And I will be shaking to think about what you will say because all things that come to our head ought not be said out loud. I learned that the hard way. And even over the last several months, the Lord has slowly exposed and showed me my language and when I say things, even as a part of my personality, it is, but everybody cannot handle it. In other words, it's like a comedian. Timing is important. You got to know when to say. And as kingdom people, we think that we have to come low so we can bring them up. No, you need to stay high so they can always inspire to come high. All of this language and Ebonics and conversation, even on Facebook, it's like, are you serious? It's just amazing. So anyway, let me get back on track. We're all flawed. That's what I'm trying to give an understanding, that we're all flawed, and God knows that we're flawed, and that's one of the reasons why he called us, because it would truly be a supernatural act. I believe that God chooses his leaders flawed and imperfect so that he can show how ordinary people can be used by an extraordinary God. I really believe that. And we people that are called by God, we should celebrate God's wisdom in choosing. Nothing in me would have chose this. I'm telling you straight up. Oh, my goodness, no way. I wouldn't have ever been able to choose, you know, this place. And I honor God for it, but no, on the best day, I would have never, ever, phantom in a dream that I would ever be, first of all, saved and serving God. Didn't even know what that was. a pastor, leading people, a church. It's too much. That's why Psalms 139:6 says, such knowledge is too wonderful, is too high. I can't obtain it. When I sit and meditate, and I do it a lot because I'm always stunned. I'm still amazed that God would give me such a great life of suffering. I'm always amazed that he looked through every fiber of me, good, bad, extremely indifferent. And he said, I'm going to use that girl for my glory. That is something else. And that's why I cannot intentionally, on purpose, fail him. I will fail, but it won't be intentional. It won't be on purpose. It won't be that I'm just going to live any kind of way and then take 20 minutes to, you know, repent and ask for forgiveness and then go on. Everything got to be thought of because he still chose me. He trusts me with him. He trusts me with him. And he trusts me with him, with his people. That's heavy. So spiritual leadership is important to God because he knows that in every generation it will be harder and harder to raise up godly leadership. This is why God is the one who searches, appoints, and qualifies the call to leadership. Once he has found his leadership, then he places them in special area of service to serve him and the people. Acts 9:17-23. Acts 9:17. Acts 22-23. I'm not going to read them, but you go to them because we're getting ready to wrap up this level of recording. And I want to be true to the time, but I want to get this section out because there's some points in here I want to be able to give to us so that we can finish out this session. It'll be a lot to meditate on. But he puts you in special areas where your giftings can come alive. That will be your natural giftings and your spiritual giftings. So Acts 9:17 and Acts 22-23 are scriptures to point to special areas of service to God and the people. One particular thing I always think about it since I've met her and Miss Bridget during Pastor Darnetta and Minister Bridget, they work with homeless people and young girls, mentor and all of that. That's their special area. I deal with a level of hunger. Anybody that's hungry, I'll feed them, clothe them, things like that. That's a passion of mine, and I love it because there's a experience there. And so when God places you in your special area, don't forfeit or give it up because somebody else like it but are not anointed for it. It's a lot of people like to deal with certain things, but not the way you do. You pay attention to everything, even when it's homeless, even when it's little girls who are going through, even when it's the fatherless, the poor, or the elderly. We pay special attention. We see things that others do not see. We'll go the miles that others will not dare go because we have been anointed to that special service area to get things done. Some people will spend a lifetime dealing with those causes. Some people are anointed for the season and the time. When God does it, it's God. You need to give everything. And God's heart is full of anger and compassion. Anger because he has hand-selected leaders to fill the needs of people in those specific areas. And compassion for those who dare try to meet every need of those people who, you know, God has raised up to step in. God gets upset because he knows what he put in us. And we can say we want to do the cute stuff. We want to do stuff, again, that I said won't get your hands dirty. You do 2 seconds of evangelistic work on the streets, give a couple of people a Bible and preach a couple of messages or sing or whatever, and now we're ready to move on. No, you just got started. You have not given a plan of salvation. You have not done follow-up. The message could be a little bit more meatier, but because you might be entering into a level of ego, then you think all is well, but it's not. And see, time's going to tell a whole lot of stuff. Time is going to tell it. So God get angry. when he knows that he's given people a special anointing to fill the needs in these areas, and we go do something else because it's not as hard. And then those that will step in and do a tired, worn out, you know, truly going through, I'm telling you, God has compassion on us, compassion. I'm preoccupied all the time with how I'm going to get back into Cedar Estate. That the children are gone, you know, they're not as active. What's going on with those people? I know that other people stepped in and did a level, but it's a passion of mine. It's something that God has raised me to do, and I want to do it, and I'm going to do it. So you got to understand the anger and the compassion that God has. He knows what he put in us. He knows. He understands it, and he knows that if he put it in us, he has already supernaturally equipped us to stand up and do it. So I found a quote from William Sangster, a Methodist preacher, and this is the quote directly. I wait to hear a voice and no voice comes. I would rather listen than speak, but there is no clarion voice to listen to. What does that mean? The voice of the church is silent and unclear because leadership is silent and unclear. It's painful because the people who need to hear are still stuck because there's no clarion voice. If the world is going to ever be offered a chance for salvation, then spiritual leadership must sound the alarm and blow the trumpet in Zion first and wake up, and then the world will take notice. The world will take notice. And the Methodist preacher was saying, nobody is saying anything. No, I'm listening, waiting for someone to make a sound. And right now, the Church of America, Christians all over the country need to wake up spiritually and make a sound, not because of who's in the presidency, who has left the presidency. It is because if ever there's a time God needs the church to rise up, it is absolutely now. So I'm going to give you three qualities of spiritual leadership, then we'll end this session. I pray that God is saying something that is truly blessing you. I really do. Here are three qualities needed for godly spiritual leadership. Number one, authoritative or authority. People want leaders who know where they're going and are confident of where they're going. Don't try to lead me to a place that you don't even know where you're going in the first place. Teaching, preaching, singing, dancing, walking, eating, lunch, conference. You need to know where you're going. I mean, you at least need to know where you are going if you want me to go. Okay. Also, authority comes with a level of influence. When people have authority, there's a sound. You know that they're in charge. You know that they're running this, and not because they're nasty, but it's a commanding thing. People will follow because the authoritative anointing that's on your life, and it will cause people to be confident with where you're going. That's why teachers cannot sit down and try to put something together. And you can't do it really if you're a really, really good teacher. There are lessons and things that I'm teaching now, taught my ministry over the year. I studied that stuff, and people that have been in my home, in my office, when I had one in my office, I have tablets of stuff that was in early ministry that I am teaching and refreshing people on right now. You can't study a lesson that you're going to teach on Tuesday and you haven't spent the entire several weeks getting out, preparing yourself for questions that you may not can answer, but we wise enough to say, I don't know the answer to that, but I'll get back with you, preparing yourself to give answers because people are going to interact. They're going to ask. Some people be sent there by the enemy simply just to cause you to want to look embarrassed. So you got to know where you're going, and you have to already be trained and prepared to get people there. You can't just come out, follow me. No. You know, follow me as I follow Christ. No. Nope. You need to have some evidence that you've been following Christ. So authoritative people who walk in authority, command atmospheres, and people are drawn to them because they're confident in the anointing of God that's on their life. The second thing is spiritual. Because without strong relationship with God, there is no leading to God. You have to be spiritual. You have to have a strong relationship with God. You can't lead people to God if you don't know him. And you can't lead people to God if you're acquainted with him. You can't lead people to God if you don't even know that he exists. Attractiveness, charisma, enthusiasm will not lead a person to God. It must be a spiritual drawing. It's a whole lot of people that have beautiful things. They got everything in its right place, the right this, the right that. No kind of spirituality. You can get nothing spiritual out of that if you try. Moving on. Number three, sacrificial. You got to sacrifice. Jesus became a ransom for the world, and he called us to be the pattern after his death. We need to be a ransom for Christ. We need to be a ransom. We need to give our life to him because he gave his life for us, and we need to in turn give our lives to others. We do. We need to live clean, act clean, walk clean, sacrificial. There are many ways to grow a church with strong spiritual leadership, but church growth is not the only thing God is seeking. He wants to introduce a kingdom society of kings and priests who govern in the earth in his stead. He wants kings and priests in the earth realm to govern in his stead. Can you govern in God's stead? Can you be released to run anything in God's stead? And when the earthly leader return back, or when the earthly leader sits there, they're not embarrassed or have to sit you down in the middle of your teaching or preaching because you are so far out of whack, it's unreal. We need to see it like that. That's why I started saying how humble I am, because God will use me to speak on his behalf. Because godly leadership is so few, this has become the state of the church. Lukewarm, confused, weak, and unprotected. Those who preach with power, authority, and with a majestic voice is almost extinct. But as with all things, there is a remnant coming forth to fulfill the position. It's no question. It's no doubt. I also believe this is why the frustration, the prayer, the praise, the worship, the weirdness in the prophetic realm with those that walk in the office of the prophet is so intense for us, because the church is lukewarm, confused, weak, and unprotected. Prophets should be having alarms sounded off all kinds of way in the spirit, and we should be sounding alarms, so that the people can know what to do when they hear the sound. I've never seen so much demonic influence in the church. It's so subtle. If you don't have a spiritual eye, if you don't have a discerning eye to discern that which is good and that which is evil, you are being seduced, mesmerized, manipulated, and controlled in witchcraft from the pulpit right now. Right now. I don't care who likes it. I don't care who disagrees. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about, but it is strong demonic influence sitting in the church, running the church from the pulpit to the deacon board to the mother board and any other board you got established in it. Apostolic, no solid, the Baptist, the Methodist, it's in there, because we will not allow people to preach with power, authority, and with the majestic voice of the Almighty God. people get so upset with me on how I deal with demons. I'm not asking you anything, and you will not speak. You have no right or authority. This is the territory that God gave us to occupy and do his business until he comes. I am clear that I am not dealing with a person, but the person is under arrest by a demonic spirit. So we're not going to have tea and cookies while I counsel a demon. I'm going to take authority over it. Do what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and we're going to move on until that person want to be free. Okay? So I'm telling you, we have got to understand what the Father is saying. What I love about God is that he always has someone somewhere sold out for him. There are leaders being handpicked and selected by God for his special area of need, even right now, all over the place, all over the place. He's doing it right now. They practice discipline by seeking first the kingdom of God. They are saved for eternity, full of the Holy Spirit. They make it their business to live a clean and holy life before God. They are sanctified. They are dedicated to God's agenda plans. They are fiercely loyal to God and others. They have mastered their flesh. They will contend and are set for the defense of the faith. And that is the absolute truth. That's the absolute truth. I'm telling you, it's amazing the things that the Lord, will do so that people can be saved and have a right to the kingdom of God. And if you're not ready to defend and contend for the faith, then you need to sit down. But you got to also know what is the faith to contend. Jude is an excellent book. It's awesome. The whole Bible is. And leaders need to, read the Bible. You need to read the Bible. You got to come out the glory cloud of soak and land on the floor and get in your word, because we're going to need the word more than anything. We're going to have to defend Christianity for real. People tell you all kinds of craziness, but I know what I hear in the spirit, or else God wouldn't have put it in the word. He told us to contend for the faith. Because he knew that things were going to come up to attack our stance as spiritual leaders. And I am telling you, that as we come to the end of this dispensation, where this course that we're in, we're going to need to understand that the Word of God is important and valuable. And those that are preaching, proclaiming, and living the Word of God, we're getting ready to enter into another era of persecution and really even death and death threats. I'm not exempt for any of that. Persecution and the death threats and all kinds of stuff, it's been tremendous over the years. And that's how I know that God has promoted me. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. So Samuel Brengler is the leader of the Salvation Army at the time. And he was talking about spiritual authority and leadership. And he said this, this is a direct quote, it is not won by promotion, but many prayers and tears. It is obtained by confession of sin and much heart searching and humbling before God, by self-surrender, a courageous sacrifice of every idol, a bold, uncomplaining embrace of the cross, and by eternal, unfaltering looking into Jesus Christ crucified. It is not gained by seeking great things for ourselves, but like Paul, by counting those things that are gained to loss for Christ. There is a great price, but it must be paid by the leader who would not be merely a number, but a real spiritual leader of men, a leader whose power is recognized and felt in heaven, on earth, and in hell. That's a direct quote. All of that. And then some. And if you have no type of influence, that when hell knows you're on the scene, please, please, please go back and spend some time with God. God wants to show men just how strong he really is. 2 Chronicles 16:9 supports that. The price to lead in any office, whether it's public, private, or spiritual, is high, and very few will accept it. But for you who will boldly rise up, to meet the needs of humanity. God himself will anoint, qualify, and back you. James and John were warned by Christ about the perils of spiritual leadership, and he is warning us now. There is a price to be paid, and you must consider the price before you accept it. My prayer is that the Father said something today in just simple, basic terms to get us ready. I want you to ponder what we've been talking about. I want you to really ponder it. I want you to really meditate, think about if the stuff that God said, think about if God called you to it. I want you to really be honest and truthful with yourself. People don't need to be injured anymore by our careless, ambitious mistakes. We really, if ever there's a time, we absolutely need to really think about this thing in a very sincere way. And we need to be honest, earnest with ourselves. And if God has not called us to this thing and we know it, then we really and truly need to, you know, we need to deal with it now. We need to handle it now. And we need to just, you know, go on and step aside. I don't want people's lives to be affected because I'm out of position and I know that God has not called me to this place in leadership. So my prayer is that this hour has been really good for you. I'm going to record some more things and you know, we'll be able to go through this session. And by the time we get to the ascension gifts, we will know who we are and that we've been called to lead. And then we'll know our ascension gifts, and we'll be able to go in and function in those gifts and be able to respect all levels of leadership. I greatly appreciate your time this morning. I appreciate your efforts. I love you dearly. God loves you way more than I can. Be encouraged and be strengthened to know that God has anointed and appointed you, and there's nothing that man can do about your promotion but participate with the part that God has given him. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you and we honor you. We ask that you'll please put the teaching on today. We ask that you will continue to download and impart in us even more the things necessary that we can be godly spiritual leaders in a time like this. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name, Lord God, to forgive us of things that you exposed during this teaching and help us to realign and readjust, restore, heal, deliver, set free, and raise us up once again. Anoint us for the services that you've given us and give us the holy boldness and courage, Lord God, to go forward in the things that you have called us to enter in, Lord God. Father, we praise you and we honor you. In Christ our Lord's name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.